Blog Talk Radio.
Monet and left foot.
Whoa!
Get the deal.
Another day.
Dabadini.
I take your pain away. Some people talk about you like they know all about you. When you get down, they doubt you. And when you dip it on the scene, yeah, they talking about it. Cause they can't tip on the scene what you talk about.
In the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, our Messiah, our Jesus in our midst today, our warner, leader, teacher, and guide. And what a beautiful and divine message he gave to us on yesterday, Savior's Day, for the Nation of Islam. And I would like to welcome all of you back to Nation Building Movement Network and Conscious Black Nation. I pray that everybody had a wonderful Savior's Day and a safe return, a safe trip back home. And without further ado, I want to present our Vice President, my brother, my friend, my backbone on this network, such a devout brother, such a wonderful teacher, and such a wonderful friend, Brother Kareem Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, Queen Aziza. And thank you so, so much for that beautiful introduction. And again, since because we're not out of the season yet, happy Savior's Day.
And happy Savior's Day to you, Savior's Day Kareem, sir.
Savior's Day Mubarak, indeed. That's right. Sound like I hear somebody else on the line. Who is that?
Sir, yes, sir. This
That's
is Brother
our beloved
Reginald,
Brother Reginald.
Oh, well, salam.
Well, alaikum salam, sir, and happy Savior's Year to you.
Oh, indeed, all praise is due to Allah, yeah, because it's going to be one this year.
Yes, indeed.
For those who don't believe, just watch the skies.
All praises be to Allah.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm very glad to have you here with us tonight, Brother Reginald. And again, thank you, Queen Aziza, for this opportunity to be of service to Almighty God, Allah, and indeed to His people. Because at the end of the day, I mean, really, honestly, throughout the whole day, the bottom line is that if we are not serving Allah, then, and I'll say it like this because I don't usually say opinion, but I'll say in my opinion, if we're not serving Almighty God, Allah, in the truest sense, then we're just a waste of breath.
Come on.
At this late date and time, you know, because everything else, I mean, the minister, yesterday, when he talked about, I may not be quoting exactly right, but when he talked about the position-seeking whores, I mean, that's deep. You think about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
you hold yourself out for a position. Now, I mean, that's deep. So, but that's not our topic tonight.
Now, we'll cover that one later.
Yes, later. And then later day, definitely. But our topic tonight is consequences when we fail in our duty to Allah. And it is taken from Lost Found Muslim Lesson Number 2, Point Number 19. If a civilized person does not perform his duty, what must be done? And let me clarify, when it says his duty, it means his or her duty. So, as everyone knows, and let me open correctly myself, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is indeed due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, indeed our divine reminder, he who carries the mantle of Masi or Messiah, a perfect example, in my view, of Jesus. You know, anybody has a problem with that, that's just their problem. If we really understand or understood the teachings that we have, that's what this is all about. It's not about a Jesus that's to come. The fact is Jesus is on the scene. Jesus, singular, and Jesus is plural. But I greet everyone with the greeting words of peace and paradise once again. Assalamu alaikum. And let's lay the foundation for our topic. We're going to start in the Holy Quran, Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation, Surah or chapter 83, entitled Al-Tais, Default in Duty. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Woe to the cheaters, who when they take the measure of their dues from men, take it fully. And when they measure out to others or weigh out for them, they give less than is due. Do they not think that they will be raised again to a mighty day, the day when men will stand before the Lord of the world? Nay, surely the record of the wicked is in the prison. And what will make thee know what the prison is? It is a written book. Woe on that day to the rejecters, who give the lie to the day of judgment, and none gives the lie to it but every exceeder of limits, every sinful one. When our messages are recited to him, he says, stories of those of yore. Nay, rather what they earned is rust upon their hearts. Nay, surely they are that day debarred from their Lord. Then they will surely enter the burning fire. And then we go to Surah or chapter 107, Al-Ma'un, Acts of Kindness. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, hast thou seen him who belies religion? That is the one who is rough to the orphan and urges not the feeding of the needy. So woe to the praying ones who are unmindful of their prayer, who do good to be seen and refrain from acts of kindness. Sadaqallah, surely Allah speaks the truth. And continuing on, we want to go to the Bible, starting in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. Verse 18, in where it states, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And secondly, the book of Luke, chapter 12, 47th verse, in where it states, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Again, our topic tonight is consequences when we fail to perform our duty to Allah. And so before we get deep into the topic, I'm going to have our panelists introduce themselves. I'm going to start with you, Brother Reginald.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum once again. And once again to all of the listening audience, as well as Queen Sister Aziza, beloved Queen Sister Aziza, I thank you for allowing me to be on this platform and inviting me once again to this wonderful and magnificent broadcast of Nation Build the Movement. And also thank you as well, beloved Brother Kareem. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that he appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi.
I further bear witness that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger Messiah, the exalted Christ. And I further bear witness that I thank them both for leaving us a divine warner, leader, guide, fireman, brother, friend, and I can just go on and on with what they left for us in our midst. And I can sum it all up to say we have Jesus in our midst in the form of the Spirit of Truth. And it is in their three names, the Most Honorable Minister Lewis, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Master Farad Muhammad, and Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan, that I greet you all in the greeting words of peace in paradise. As-salam wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. How you doing, Brother Andre? Sorry, I didn't even know you were on the line. How you doing, my beloved brother? Was that Brother Andre?
Oh, I'm sorry.
How you doing, Brother Kareem Ali? As-salamu alaikum to you, beloved brother.
As-salamu alaikum, sir. I just got the text here, and as-salamu alaikum to all the family. Greetings to you guys. I just got the text when I turned my phone on when I walked out of the building. I was just getting off of work, so I tapped in immediately.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Well,
all praises to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
All praises to Allah. Yes, sir. Well, go ahead and introduce yourself, sir.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum again. My name is Kareem Ali. Originally from Detroit here in Phoenix, Arizona, Mosque number 32. Been out here for 20 years. I just befriended a whole bunch of my brothers and sisters, and y'all just been linking me back to back and back to back. My phone's just been going crazy. It's still going off. All the brothers and sisters is connected, so all praises be to Allah for that. I didn't get to make Savior's Day in my hometown, but I really felt like I was in spirit there. I seen it on webcast live, me and my family at my home here in Phoenix. And just, you know, tapping back on, told myself I wasn't getting back onto it with something real and positive. And when I heard my leader Farrakhan say, you know, when you speak on Facebook and Twitter, make sure you're speaking about some sense and don't put your personal business and all that foolishness on there. So I said,
that's
what
right.
Better friends to befriend but my brothers and sisters that's on there. And I got a whole bunch of you guys, a whole bunch of brothers and sisters around the world that I can befriend and talk to. So I really appreciate you guys inviting me to this talk blog talk show. And I'm ready to speak whenever my turn is up.
Praise be to Allah. That's right.
Yes.
Well, we're glad
yes.
to have you, brother.
Thank you.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, our topic, as I stated before, and I'll say it again, is consequences when we fail in our duty to Allah. And it's taken from Lost Found Muslim Lesson number 2, point number 19, in which it states, or it asks the question, if a civilized person does not perform his duty, and I say his or her duty, what must be done? And the answer is, if a civilized person does not perform his duty, which is teaching civilization to others, they should be punished with a severe punishment. So, Brother Reggie, you back with us?
Sir, yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to start with you, and our first question is this. In your own words, what is the duty of the civilized person?
The civilized person, and thanks for the question, beloved brother Kareem, the civilized person's duty is to accept the truth, take the truth that he has accepted, study to show thyself approved, improve on that, become an eternal student, and once you become an eternal student, your job then is to go out and civilize those who are uncivilized. And civilized means taking one and trying your best to take one with the teaching, study and maturation in the study process, taking that one and taking them from a savage state, which we were all in before we came until we were visited by Master Farad Muhammad, taking that one from a savage state, which is one who has lost the knowledge of himself and is living the life of a beast, or one that is just totally immoral in all things that we do and has not you know, had the opportunity to know the truth. So our job as raising and taking one to a civilized state is to be what we all should be 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 47 seconds a day, and that's saviors. We must be saviors. We must go get the people because the people are yearning. The people are in need, and we are at a climatic period in this particular time span, so we must do our duty and heed the call of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. And Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
Same question to you, my brother. In your own words, what is the duty of the civilized person?
The duty of a civilized person is to speak truth regardless of the consequences. They must speak truth. Why? Because they are responsible for the truth once you hear it. You cannot hold truth, walk around here knowing things, and deprive the ignorant, especially among your own people, and not tell it. That is a savage within itself. And it's actually, in my words, wicked to hold something that you know truth and hold behind the truth from the ignorant that can help many people, even your own family, and not speak that truth. A civilized person would speak that truth and educate the ones that don't know. Why? Because in speaking that truth, when they uplift that person, it will in return uplift them and bring them up higher in existence and spirituality with God. So why you won't speak the truth unless you have a bad motive? I recall the leaders say when a person have truth and they not expressing that truth or giving that truth in the right manner, what is your motive? Is your motive to tear down someone or to deceive someone? Or is your motive is to hide because you're a coward and you want to save yourself? So a civilized person is a person who not only will speak the truth, but even die for the truth. Why? Because if you give your life, you save your life. But if you save your life, that life is going to be taken from you. So a civilized person is going to do things not based on personality, but what is based on principle.
Yes, sir. You still with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Yes.
I'm done.
All right. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. I just wanted to be sure. I didn't want to interrupt you. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Well, now, we're going to, at this point, we're going to define some words. The first word we're going to deal with is the word civilization. Now, according to Merriam-Webster, civilization is defined as a noun. Okay, we're going to deal with Merriam first since it is the English language. All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh,
they define civilization as a noun. It says a relatively high level of cultural and technological development, specifically the stage of cultural development at which writing and the keeping of written records is attained. The culture characteristic of a particular time or place. The process of becoming civilized. Refinement of thought, manners, or taste. Then it says a situation of
transmission.
A situation of urban comfort. Now. Yeah, civilization. Next,
is that right?
We're gonna go to the supreme wisdom as given to us by Master Farad Muhammad through his messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Point number 17 asks the question, what is the meaning of civilization? And the answer is given, one having knowledge, wisdom, understanding, culture, refinement and is not savage, pursuit of happiness. And the definitions we have for civilization. Next, we want to define this word consequence. Consequence is defined as a conclusion derived through logic. Something produced by a cause or necessarily following from a set of conditions. Okay, what's going on? Okay. And again, let me repeat that. A conclusion derived through logic. Something produced by a cause or necessarily following from a set of conditions. Result produced by action or the lack thereof. The next word is fail. To lose strength, to fade or die away, to stop functioning normally, to fall short, to become absent or inadequate, to be unsuccessful, to become bankrupt, to be deficient, to leave undone, neglect. From the Latin, fallire, to deceive. That's the definition of fail. Duty is defined as conduct due to parents or superiors. Obligatory task, conduct, service, or functions that arise from one's position in life or in a group. A moral or legal obligation. Now, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And I wasn't going to leave you out of this because I definitely, you know, I'm about balance now, so I need some balance here. In your own words, what is the duty of the civilized person in your own words?
Wow. Well, in my own words, the duty of a civilized person is to teach those who are uncivilized. And not only teach those who are uncivilized, but, you know, we got all types of levels of civilization. We have those who know what it is to be civilized but fail to live a civilized life. So not only are we charged with teaching those who are uncivilized, who are lacking the knowledge of self, but we also have to be that walking, living example at all times. You know, I think Steve Harvey said it best, you know, you might not think I know God, but at least I look like I know God. You know what I'm saying? So you have to look the part and really live that life in which you say that you represent. So as a civilized Muslim, I feel personally, in my own opinion, it is our duty as Muslims to teach. Whether our teaching is accepted or rejected, we have the duty, the assignment, to go out and spread the truth of Allah and bring our people back to Allah. That is the mission. And we have to be steadfast in that mission. But like I said, more so than anything, we need to live what we say we represent, because it does you no good to go out and try to teach a people or try to inform of, you're not looking the part. You don't look like you believe. You don't live like you believe. You don't act like you believe, but you tell somebody else they need to believe. So I think first, the civilized person must live their lives according to what they say they believe and then go out there and represent that to our people.
Come on. That's
come
right.
on, sister.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. See, this is what it means when it says, as you notice, all of the questions that we're given in our lesson, starting from student enrollment on through, everything must be answered, what? 100%, which tells us exactly how our lives are supposed to be. 100%. As a matter of fact, I could be mistaken. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but somewhere it says that any laborer who is found not 100% to the law will be what? Dismissed from his or her post?
That's right.
Now let me be clear on that. Let me be clear on this. See, you got a lot of individuals. It goes back to what our beloved minister said yesterday. And like I said, I may not be saying it exactly right, but you get the point. Those position-seeking or the folks who are in love with a position, position-seeking whores. That's what he said. See, if you think your post is lieutenant, if you think your post is minister, if you think your post is captain or whatever other title may come in that, you are most definitely mistaken, because the post that Allah has given us is our life, just as Queen Aziza just said. That's our post.
That's right.
And so if we fail to be 100% to the law, and remember what the minister said as he was closing yesterday. He said he was through talking to us. Ooh, that would be kind of hurtful if you ain't really on your post. Our post is our life. So if we're not 100% performing our duty, we will be dismissed from our post. That's something we need to think about. But now I'm gonna start with you, Brother Kareem, this time.
Yes, sir.
Our second question is this. How can you tell if a person is civilized?
Well, I'm going to tell you, as a wise man told me, life is about 90% of what, how you handle it, 10% of what happens to you. Actions speak louder than words. So you can make your mouth say anything.
Come on.
Actions is going to speak louder than what you say. So you don't have to tell people that I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, and I'm a Jew. Anybody can say that. Anybody can dress up in a nice suit and a bow tie. Anybody can put some funny claws in their head and sell bean pies and get on the corner and knock on the door. But what are your actions when no one is around? God, Almighty God, Allah, who came in the person of Master Muhammad, to whom all praise be forever, sees everything. He's the knowing of all knowing. So what counts the most is not how we conduct ourselves, not only how we conduct ourselves or act around one another, but it counts on how we conduct ourselves and handle when no one is around, when we're in public, when no one knows who we are Muslim. Because if you come in contact with the ignorant person, just like Almighty God Allah gave us mercy and patience and tolerance, we must do the same. Now, I'm not saying say it and take foolishness from a person that don't understand. I mean, you're going to have good judgment on who you need to deal with and when to hold and when to fold or when to walk away. But we have to have patience with one another. So if I'm out here and I say I'm a Muslim, which means born in a submission to be obedient toward God and want the same thing that I want for my brother and that I want for myself, then I must act that. I can't just say it. My actions have to be in alignment with what my pledge and what I believe in. If those actions are not in alignment with that, then everything that comes out of my mouth don't mean nothing. I'm a pass.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. That's right. Brother Reginald.
Sir, yes, sir.
Same question, brother.
Okay, well, since the brother gave a wonderful, mighty answer towards the civilized, I'm gonna come as in the reciprocal of it, and I'm gonna just give what an uncivilized is, and based on that, given the image and the examples of the uncivilized, the opposite is what a civilized person is supposed to be. For example, when we see the Caucasian going around completely disrespecting the law in the father, the black man, the father of civilization, going around having open game on us with the stand your ground laws, open game on us with the prison industrial complex, open game with the white supremacist system, open game with the shadow government, and all those things that he does. This is an uncivilized man, so we want to stay away from being that type of image. What is another type of uncivilized man? Let's deal with the walking around with your buttocks showing and your pants halfway down your legs, inviting and inducing other men that you're hanging on the block with to look at you, because the women not hanging on the block with you when you wear your pants down low like that. It's the men that's inviting, and whether they know it or not, it's just another culture of homosexuality being spread without the Caucasians' help. So that's an uncivilized man, in my opinion. So if you walk around and you're dressed right, looking neat, smelling good, with great mannerisms, respecting womanhood, elevating the black woman, representing your mother and father to the fullest degree, representing these teachings like you're supposed to, not just one day, not just 2 days, but 365 days a year. That's civilized, because you not only have to be a person that goes out and tries to civilize the uncivilized, but you must continually to civilize yourself, keep yourself under that same banner that you look for other people to be up under. So civilization, there has been many, many so-called civilizations come and go. There has been the ancient Egyptian civilization that failed. There has been the civilization of the Adamic race that is on its way completely out. There has been the civilization of Sodom and Gomorrah. There has been the civilization of Noah's time. All of those civilizations passed because they failed to do the duty of a civilized man. So we must continue to be civilized and act civilized. And like the brother said, it's one thing to say it, but actions do speak louder than words. And actions are what the people who we are going after to save, this is what they're looking for. They're looking for our actions to speak, because they're tired. They're tired of the so-called clergymen that's sending them these messages, that's giving us this watered-down gospel and not telling us the truth that will help civilize us, that will help teach us, that will help give us the correct theology of the time and what must be done. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Well,
thank you, brother.
All praises be to Allah.
Yes, sir. We on fire tonight.
Praise be to Allah. That's right. That's right. And that being the case, I'm going to Queen Aziza. Is there any questions out there? Any comments?
Brother Kareem, I don't know if you can log in or not, but I need you to take over for about 10 minutes.
Yes, ma'am, I got it. Not a problem. Let me launch the chat room, and I got it.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I'm looking. All right, well, I'm in there. All right, here we go. Now, that being the case, and something that you said, which we've been going on, but what you mentioned, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir.
And in reference to that, which speaks to the time in which we are in now, because for those who don't know or don't understand that we are at the end time. See, it's not coming. We are there.
This old
world is going out.
Yes, sir.
And the King, the God, the Christ, the Jesus, is present in the world.
Yes, sir.
Now, according to the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and it begins, actually, the whole chapter, but where we want to begin at is in verse 29. It states, it says, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Now, a person may ask the question and say, well, what are they talking about? Well, before that, there's the parable or the story of the talents in the book. Well, talents, and a lot of people think that just means money, but it's spelled the same way as the word talent. See, so those talents that we all have, which are gifts from Almighty God, Allah, which are to be used in his service to civilize, constantly civilize ourselves, but then to go out, the duty is to go out and to civilize the uncivilized, as it's stated. So it says pretty much what that's telling us in that verse is that if we fail to use those talents, they will be taken away.
Yes, and you are so right about that, brother. I really believe that, and this is exactly why, and all the reasons for Allah that you touched on that, is because me and my wife had just started an organization that was in the infant stages now called the Prodigal Sons and Daughters Foundation for Saving Thy Community. And I'm a producer, brother. I got a studio. I make music, and one of the things that I do for the community, especially among the youth, because I love the youth, man. I really believe God blessed me to have a position, a connection with the youth, and I allow the youth in my community or whoever come in contact to come into my house, and I give them free studio time as long as they can rap, sing about something positive, God conscious or conscious or pro-black. It can't be no foolishness.
Yes, sir.
When I get a free studio time, I don't even charge them. And all my music is dedicated to Almighty God Allah and the movement and speaking the truth. This is how I do my ministry, through my music. And I like you said, your life, when we say that prayer, my life and my death is all for Allah, where if you have any talents, like you said, brother, or any gifts, that is part of your life. And if you don't use that, God will take the idea that becomes a thought, and that thought that becomes a vision, and then that vision becomes a reality. He will take that idea and give it and bless it with somebody else, thus taking
That's
your
right.
talent and your gift, like you said.
Yes, sir. That's right. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. On point. Like you said, we are on fire tonight. So I'm gonna remind the listening audience, if you have any questions or comments, please join us. Join in with us by pressing 1 on your dial pad.
Yes, sir.
Anybody that's in the chat room, come on, type in some questions.
They need to hurry up and press 1, huh?
Yes, sir. That's right.
This is the best talk radio. We don't need no talk shows. We can do our own talk shows.
Well, that's the beauty of it, because, and that's one of the things, and I want to remind individuals, that's what we do here at Nation Building Movement, particularly here on Conscious Black Nation. The idea is to get into these teachings,
but not just
to talk words or to pontificate or for us to show each other how much we know or to be quoteologists. The idea is to get into these teachings and offer the people practical application of these teachings so that they can actually improve their standard and condition of living.
All praise be to Allah. And in return, you actually progressing and elevating yourself, staying in the spirit, because every time you give it, Every time you give it away, God is going to still dump more into you to give away.
That's right. Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. Now, I want to continue here because, like I say, the point that you hit on, now, it reads, starting here at verse 30, it reads, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now it states, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory." See, we're in that time now.
Yes, sir.
"And all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Notice the language, did not minister unto thee. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And again, our topic tonight, consequences when we fail in our duty to Allah. There you have it. I mean, that's what time it is. Now, having said that, I'm going to come to you first, Brother Reginald, with this third question. And I'm going to ask you, did you see, or were you at Savior's Day, or did you see the broadcast?
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, I had to ask, brother. I mean, you know, things come up now. I just wanted to check. Things come up. I had to check now, you know. You know, we're in this modern age, you know, sometimes we say, oh, well, I'll catch the replay. I just was checking.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. With all due respect, forgive me for answering in that manner.
That's all right now. You good?
I feel you on that one, bud.
You good as a black man. No problem.
All praises be to Allah.
Yes, sir. Indeed. Now, our third question is this. Based on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's closing comments at Savior's Day 2014, have we who say we are with him really been performing our duty to the fullest?
Wow, I'm so glad you asked me that question, beloved Brother Kareem, and I thank you so much for that question because, boy, do I have something to say about that question.
Well, go ahead, bro.
But what I will start with Matthew 13, verse 30 and 35, when it says, let both grow together until the harvest.
At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it unto my barn. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spake all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, so it was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open up my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation. Now, saying that, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said some things yesterday that put a little match, a little fire up under your backside, because he wasn't playing. He was letting you know that, and he said, quote, unquote, I may have a great falling away after this lecture, but I really don't give a hoot. It's not, I'm not trying to impress because I'm done talking to y'all. What he told us, he said he was going to prophesy unto the winds, not just against the Caucasian now. He was going to prophesy against the winds to us whom he has been teaching for 60 years and 37 years in absentia of his father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So when we see in the Bible also in the scriptures where it says two will be grinding at the mill, he'll take one and he'll leave one. Two will be in the bed lying together, he'll take one and leave one. This is a separation process that's going on right now. This is a weed out process. This is the true believers versus the untrue believers. That's the title I want to call them. I don't want to call them anything else. This is the ones, like the brother mentioned, the ones who want to show their love for these teachers and the love for this cause, not by talk, but by action and deed, so that we can all rise to the level that the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has gave us. He has given us, once again, 58 complete weeks of nothing but pure science, wisdom, metaphysics, mathematics, all of the above, absolute truth. So we have what no one else in the universe has right now, and that's a weapon of mass destruction in the form of truth to go out and save our people before this great and coming destructive day of Almighty God Allah, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and his Christ. So, yeah, we are in a weed-out process, and a lot of us fell away. And I'm going to say us, but I didn't, but I'm going to say us because I don't want to seem like I'm speaking to everybody else. But when the minister introduced us to Dianetics and the auditing process, a lot of us fell away because they don't understand the art of war. They don't understand that business is warfare. They didn't understand that you don't understand everything that the commander-in-chief does. Why would you? What commander-in-chief tells you all of the reasons and the principles behind his moves that he makes? So he mentioned in one of his lectures that he believed that Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, knew that one day that it was going to come, that he was going to be introduced to the science of Dianetics. He knew it. And you know what that was? It was a weed-out process. So now we got the true ones who claim that they love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but they turned right around and they fell out and they went publicly and just destroyed him, slandered his name when the man called for a million men and nearly 2 million showed up, when the man has been working endlessly, tirelessly, even having a slight heart attack in the middle of the 58-week lecture. He still came back strong and finished it off, kept his promise, his will, his honor that he gave to us. So what do we give him in return? We must give him our lives, and our lives include not just saying that you'll die for the minister, but the best thing that you can do for the minister is to teach his truth. And I'm sorry for my passion, but assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yeah, no, you ain't got nothing to be sorry about, bro.
You got nothing to be sorry about.
I'm telling
you,
man.
Hey, I know that's right. Brother, you ain't
got
to apologize for your passion.
I'll praise
you to Allah. That passion that you have, we all had that same passion. We are children of the leader. We came up under him. He's the one that's leading right now. So So
that's right.
His spirit is flowing through the true believers. Because like he said, that wheat is going to harvest. It's going to show if you really real. Because if you, like he said, I think it was one or two Savior's Days ago. If you ain't willing, like I think it was 2012 Savior's Day or 2011 when he said in Isaiah, God said he would send saviors. If you're not willing to be talked about, spit at, willing to lose your life, thrown in jail, then you might as well just go sit down and go die. Because we ain't got time for these knucklehead leaders. They ain't doing nothing.
That's right.
But the people that's doing something, they ain't thinking about their life. We already know. If the Christ, like Farrakhan said, if the Christ had to suffer, what makes us think we ain't going to suffer?
Teach on that, brother.
We going to have to suffer. Our leader is showing us by example on a daily basis how to handle ourselves. But it's going to really show. That's why I'm going to have to go back on this. I'm sorry, but I got to say it again. It's going to show in our actions when they come knocking on your door.
Come on.
When they say, are you with the Nation of Islam? If you even hesitate, you ain't even got to worry about them taking you out. Because Almighty God, Allah, who came in the person of Master Fuad Muhammad, is going to take you out for being a hypocrite. You can't say I believe and then choose to not to believe as soon as they knocking on your door. So if you're not willing to die, my life, I don't know if I'm going to live in a hereafter or if I was just born to speak truth, to wake up 1,000 or 1,000,000 and then get, maybe that's what I was born to do. But if that's what I was born to do, who the hell is me, excuse my language, is for me to say I don't want to lose my life for my people to be free. I ain't got that choice. I'm obligated because I'm responsible for the truth. I was blessed for this wisdom that God gave me. That's not too many people on this planet amongst our people, especially in this country, have this truth. And if we really love our people, no matter how many times they say we crazy, they said Noah was crazy. They said Abraham was crazy. They spit at Jesus, and what happened?
That's right.
They died because they laughed, but they couldn't say, I didn't know.
That's right.
They couldn't say that because Noah, Abraham, Lot, and all men before us, and like Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they got the blood off their hands. But what did they do in through time? They kept loving on us, patient. Tolerant. No matter how nasty and trifling we was, they still loved them. But it just gets to a point in time when God say, no, y'all sit down, I got it. You can't say, oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. You did know. You had Jesus among you, telling you every day. And if it wasn't him, it was some of his representatives telling you and what you do. You spit in their face, you laugh at them, you call them crazy. I want to hear none of this Muslim stuff. Y'all are crazy. Ain't no big chip in the sky and all this. Okay. That'd be the reason why it's so many zeros degrees below back east and back in the south. Okay? It ain't never snow like that. Never. And I'm from Detroit, so I know what that cold feel like. It didn't snow here last year. And I'm in Arizona. And I told people, you think God can't make it snow even though it's triple digits out here? And it ain't no Mother Nature. It's Father Nature. He's running this. So I commend every one of my brothers and sisters with the spirit of God, with that fighting spirit, because the long-lived Million Man March is still on. We're still standing strong.
All praises be to Allah. Allah Akbar.
That's
all
right.
Praises be to Allah.
That's right. And Brother Reginald.
Sir, yes, sir.
Where in Ezekiel, because I haven't been able to find it, where in Ezekiel is the scripture on the Valley of the Dry Bone?
Exactly, brother. We was told to study that scripture, and thank you for the question. We was told just go home immediately after we leave the convention yesterday to go study chapter 37.
I got it. It's chapter
37.
I got it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm actually on Ezekiel on my smartphone right now. I was trying to pull it up.
Yes, sir. That's chapter 37.
See, that's the point, like I said, again, of this program is for the people to have. See, we got these scriptures. We got these words. But people
right.
need practice. They have to have practical application. They need a modern understanding so that they can use this in their everyday life. And if you notice here, this is what it's saying. Listen to this, because you mentioned that when the minister said he was going to prophesy unto the wind. Listen, yes, now I know people have heard this scripture, but listen to these words very carefully. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, also I want to thank you all for what you all did last week when I wasn't able to be on the program. Thank you all very, very much, for stepping up to the plate and doing that. But you remember before that, we dealt with, that hidden knowledge that George Clinton put out there. You know, all you got to do is just trade the word, replace the word funk with truth, and you get an entirely new meaning.
Yes, sir.
You know? So, and on that note, and then what we read now, we're talking about the Valley of the Dry Bones. With the Valley of the Dry Bones in chapter 37 of Ezekiel in mind, go back and listen to the song Dr. Funkenstein. And I'm gonna leave it at that for now. But back into the scripture, he says, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, if we understand bones is our skeletal structure. That's what holds the body up. That's what everything else is built on top of.
Teach it.
That's the foundation.
That's right. That's the foundation. Now, the bones inside of our body are not dry. We're living beings. Our bones aren't dry. As a matter of fact, when a person's bones become dry and brittle, they're in the throes of death.
dry bones is going to be good.
Because think about it, the very blood that circulates through our bodies is produced in the bone marrow. That's where the blood cells, the red blood cells, are produced, in the bone marrow. So let's think about it. But here's the Son of Man. In other words, that one whom God's spirit is in. He's been set down in a valley of dry bones. He said, but not only were they dry, say they were very dry. Ooh-wee.
Oh, brother, I love you, brother. It was good to come online today.
We got to have practical understanding here. You know, get up, like I say, they get on, and then don't get me wrong, and it's beautiful for people to be on the rostrum and so on and so forth, but the bottom line is, again, at the end of the day, if we and if the people can't take this word and get into it and decipher it and draw from it something that will help them in their everyday life, to get past all these obstacles and things we're dealing with to be better servants of God, then it's useless.
That's right.
He says, he goes on and says, and he said unto me, Son of Man, can these bones live? The Son of Man said, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. See, the Son of Man was smart enough to stay out of that.
Right.
He said, well, you know, God, I'm not going to put myself in that.
That's right.
So he says, again, he said unto me, prophesy, notice the words, upon these bones. Look at that. He said, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to stop right there because it said faith cometh by hearing, and that the word of the Lord.
That's a heavy point. That's a heavy point when you stop that right there, brother.
Because he was told to prophesy upon the bones.
Right.
So when you put something up on something, that means you're placing it over it. You're covering it with it. It becomes a shelter and a cover, something to protect what you are putting it upon. Now, he goes on to say, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. See, notice, he said, prophesy upon these bones. But now it says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. So it's God speaking. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. That's muscle, y'all. Sinews is muscle.
Right.
For those who don't know. And so, because you got to have muscle. If you ain't got no muscle, and you just got bone, again, not a lot you can do that. So you got to have the muscles on top of the bone. That's what gives us our range of motion.
Right.
So we can go into action, man. Action.
Wow. Go ahead, brother.
In Merriam Dictionary, you find the brother, Merriam Dictionary, you find the brother. And consider it ligaments and tendons, which means that they all work together to come together, and they so they you know that's what these boys, that's what we gotta be as an army, an exceedingly great army. But I don't mean to get ahead. Go ahead, brother.
No. But that's it. Now notice what he says, and I will lay sinews upon
Brother Kareem,
you. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Okay. Not you, Kareem, the guest, Kareem, Brother Kareem Ali.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because some of the believers are saying that they are having a hard time hearing you. I mean, I hear you just fine, but you do sound kind of far away, so if you could, I don't know if you could increase the volume on your phone, but a lot of people are saying they have a time hearing you.
Please get it right, brother, because you're spitting too much fire.
Can you do a mic check for me, sister? Is this Sister Aziza?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Can you do a mic check and ask them, can they hear me better now?
I hear
you
better
now, is that better?
They say a little louder. They say a little louder, Brother Kareem.
if you're on speaker,
I'm talking through my headphones on this little mic because I was trying to read the Bible when the brother was reading. But let me go ahead and take it out. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Let me readjust myself. We got technical difficulties, but we gonna get it right. Hold one moment. Excuse me, guys.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is this better?
Yes, sir.
You good.
You
good, yes, sir.
Okay. All right, then. Go ahead. Let it rip.
All right. We finna rip it on. And then notice he says, I'll lay sinews upon you and listen, and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. There he goes with that breath again. Now notice he said, I'll put skin on you. Now, see, you got the bone, which is the foundation. Everything's built upon that. Now you got the sinews, which is your veins, which are carrying the blood. You got the muscle, which allows us our range of motion. Because without the blood to carry the nutrients throughout the body, then we still can't live. He's given us all of this. He's given us all of this. And then he puts the skin on it, which is the protective coating, which holds everything in place.
Now, can I
ask
you a question?
If we didn't have the skin on us, then the muscles, the blood would just be squirting everywhere. Our organs would just fall out all over the place. So, see, everything everything is working together. So the skin covering us. But now, listen to it. Listen to what he said. He says, and after that, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know. He didn't say believe.
No.
He said, know that I am the Lord.
That's right.
So now here goes the Son of Man. The Son of Man said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied. That means he was teaching y'all, okay?
Right.
For the past 37 years, 50-something years, hint.
37, that's right.
Right.
I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Let's make this plain. See, when the minister comes out, all right, or when a brother Newark come out, or when Sister Ava come out, or Brother Jameel come out, or, you know, one of, you know, the people, it's like church. The people get excited and they're happy and they're clapping. Oh, it's just so wonderful.
Speak on that.
And then,
yes, sir.
After this excitement, and I mean, like I said, as the minister would say, any resemblance to persons living or dead is no coincidence. Okay.
That's right.
Because once we get this word, I was born and raised in the nation. So during the time when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was among us,
yes, sir,
you would get this teaching and people would be so excited. Okay? But you had some. I'm saying, listen, you had some that would go back, and after the emotional high went down, they went back into their stupor. But many of us, even if we may not have understood it to the level that some say they understand it now, most of us went home and went to work, man.
That's right.
And I don't mean to cut you off, Brother Kareem, but this is also was very, very depressing for me yesterday when I heard the numbers of the economic blueprint, the progress that we have made.
Me too.
We have only made $297,000. Think about this now. If we got 50,000 believers in the nation, I mean, we're just going to deal with the nation right now because that's my family. If we got 50,000 in the nation and we just gave $5 in 1 year, we would have at least $250,000 by ourselves. Now, we had so much zeal in 2012 when he came out, 2013, when he came out with the economic blueprint. We got it first. We got that first. So the question is, how strong is our foundation? Or better yet, what are we doing to strengthen our foundation? Can we or will we survive? Now, if we're going to strengthen our foundation, then we must start by first, because when he departs, and he is going to depart from us, we have got to have land. We have got to have our own food. We have got to have our own homes. We have got to have our own community, our own politics. And like he said, we got to have our own judicial system. Because we're not going to be operating under this Caucasian law much longer. We operating completely under the law of Islam. And the law of Islam is not going to tolerate this. It's not going to tolerate this 1 second. All of this, and that includes me too. When I'm talking, I want everybody to know I'm talking to myself too.
Yes,
that includes if we're going to be real about this, then when he gives us an assignment, to just give a nickel a day, he didn't ask you for $100 a day. He didn't say it was even going to be going to him. It's going to somebody outside the nation to monitor, to be to make sure the transparency exists. And that's just one of the things that just had me so furious yesterday. And I know I must rise above my emotions, but how we expect for the people to join on to Muhammad's economic blueprint when we don't even support it ourselves?
That's why I said a nickel a day?
Come on. Now, we was looking too sharp at the convention this weekend with beautiful $100, $500 suits.
$1,000 drill competition uniforms, and you mean to tell me you couldn't put 5 cents a day into a glass jar and send it in? It don't cost you nothing to go to PayPal and pay it. You know, it's not a surcharge. Come on now, we got it. Come on, people, family, we can do better. We can show the minister much better love than that because we're making it look like we're talking for ourselves. All right, that's what I'm making.
All right.
Thank you,
brother. I got to get in on this because y'all brothers
yes, are
too
go ahead,
for
sister.
Me.
We've been waiting on you.
y'all are way too hyped. Y'all got the chat room going crazy. My fingers are breaking over here. Okay. let me just say this. You know, it's okay to have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And the minister asked that question for a specific reason when he asked how strong is your foundation. He didn't
come
say
on now.
How strong is our foundation.
Oh.
He said how strong is your foundation.
Come on,
yes, now.
He gave you a clue when he said that a lot of people fell away from him. You know,
wow,
when he introduced
I feel you
God
on that.
And it's the things of that nature. Well, he's been telling us that there is going to be a great falling away.
Come on.
Okay, sister, go ahead.
Also, those people who are pure at heart, who are seeking the truth of Allah,
mm-hmm.
will form the nation of Islam. And
hey,
that's why we have to stop looking at the nation of Islam as the registered Muslim. Because
right.
the
go
nation
ahead,
of Islam is far bigger than the
Come
registered
on.
Muslim.
That's
so
right.
when you look at the nation of Islam, you have to look at all of the original people of the planet Earth. And
keep
that is your nation of Islam. And those who are pure at heart, I don't care if they're in the church, in the synagogue, they could be standing
That's
on the
right.
corner hooking, they could be slanging cane and doing things. But
That's
when Allah gets ready for you, you cannot resist his call.
That's right, love.
The
That's
evidence
right.
of that is the Million Man March, because when Minister Farrakhan called for 1 million men and almost 2 million came out, remember 85% of those in attendance were not Muslim.
That's
they
right.
were
Speak
not
that,
registered Muslims. They were not really Muslims of any kind. They were so-called Christians.
That's
your
right.
Moors came. Your Hebrew Israelites came. Your Jews came. Because
right.
they heard from God. They heard the voice of God from a man. And so
That's
those
right.
who are truly seeking God will join on to God. But what you see, what you expect to see, is that those who profess to be Muslims, those who are registered, those who have the name Muhammad, see, you are expecting them to stand up and do. And those are the ones that are going to fall away first.
That's
and the
right.
ones that are going to join on, their last name is going to be Jones and Smith and Rosenberg and White and Green and Black or whatever. But it's not going to be what you think. But the Nation of Islam is going to come after everything else fails.
That's right.
Including,
That's right.
including
my God,
those
my God, my
who
God.
Say that they stand with you right now. So don't even expect. Don't even expect the Nation of Islam in its present state to be what you think it should be, because the Nation of Islam is going to be inclusive of all of those who are willing to submit their will to do the will of Allah,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be black,
oh,
brown, yellow,
Allah.
Red. That's who is going to be the Nation of Islam.
That's right.
I'm glad I got me something like that on that team, boy. That's brilliant.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Think about this. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad made the statement and said, some of my best followers
are not
even in the nation of Israel. So now, if it was true then, what did you think about now? People can get upset with me if they want, but I mean, it's a shame, and I pray to Allah that individuals come to their senses and go ahead and take true advantage of this blessing we have been given. But from what I have seen, the majority of individuals, I'm just going to say it in the ranks. I mean, I'm not sorry to say it.
It's the truth, brother.
The bottom line is you got a bunch of reality TV Hollywood Muslims. They vent Muslims. I'm going to come out and I'm going to look good.
I'm getting fired up. I got to check out the jacket, brother.
I'm going to look good. But as far as exactly what our topic is, the consequences of us failing in our duty to Allah, but when it comes to going out here living and being the example, as Queen Aziza said, you, Brother Kareem, and also you, Brother, living this life and being the example, actually being Jesus and Christ and resurrecting the dead, ain't got time for that because I got to make sure I got another pair of $700 shoes.
Yes, sir.
I got to go get in debt again because I got to have a Mercedes because I'm trying to play the role of an individual that I saw in the movie Malcolm X who never even existed. I'm talking about fame.
Or giving an opinion on an experience that you never had.
Come on now. Exactly.
Giving your opinion on experiences that you never had.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You know what I mean?
So that's, right.
Go ahead, brother.
But now I want to finish up with the scripture we were on, and then we're going to, because we're right on point. Everything's right on point. Nothing has missed. But I want to finish it up. He says, so.
And you do have questions, Brother Kareem. I just wanted you to know.
Yes, ma'am. As soon as I finish this out, we're gonna jump into those questions because that's what we're here for. Then he said unto me, prophesy. No, he said, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them. So that means they looked. It looked like a living being. It looked like somebody that was alive. It says, skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Well, I'm going to tell you, those winds don't mean that it was going to be a nice little gentle spring or summertime breeze to cool you off. Those winds are these circumstances. This is the folks knocking on your door. This is you going into that job you love so much.
Yes,
and they're going to ask you, what you doing here? Ain't your name Muhammad? Ain't you with that fire can? You
right.
don't work here. See, when the people who we've been passing by every day what I suppose to be civilized, wise behind, and we have not been helping them begin to, I'm going to say, exact some justice for us turning our backs on them, being the priest and the Levite as opposed to the Good Samaritan. Yeah, those are the winds. When these circumstances, when this rough times that the minister just mentioned yesterday start, those are the winds. And so
That was one of my questions I was going to ask you, because I already knew one part of the winds, when he prophesied into the winds, was the rulers of the world, you know, the elite of the world and all that. But when he said it again, it kind of threw me off. You know, and I've been studying and I've been praying on it, like, what do he mean, process of the winds? Because I thought that's what he was doing, you know, when he was, you know, calling them out. But he said it again, and then Sister Aziza said it, you know, take heed to what he was saying in regards to, then you said it, take heed to what he said when he said prophesy to the wind. But what you said, he ain't just talking about those winds, he's talking about us winds. So can you elaborate a little bit? I mean, I know you just touched on a little bit again, but can you kind of like...
Let me share this one scripture, and then we want to get to some questions from the audience. Hopefully this will bring it into perspective, but we'll come back to this. And even if we have to do a part two. But in Ezekiel chapter 12, it says this: the word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. So see, that's the thing. We are a rebellious house. We've been given this, and that's what those winds are. Yes, initially, yes, he comes to the powers that be.
That's what he said. We're the ones who have been chosen
by Almighty God Allah.
That's right.
To be blessed with this message, again, like I say, our topic, we're failing in our duty. So a lie ain't going to just let us get away with failing in our duty.
Oh, no. I mean, oh, no.
Look in our lessons. Again, Lost Found Muslim lesson number 2, point number 20. What is the prescribed law of Islam, a said person of that ability, meaning the civilized? That the civilized person is held responsible for the uncivilized, and he must be punished by the nation of Islam.
Wow.
Queen Aziza, I'm going to say this to the audience, please forgive us, but now we want to open up for questions, please, whatever your questions are.
Okay, we got a question from Lillian. Okay. She say, why so many people were against Malcolm, Dr. Collins, and Martin Luther King, and now it seems that since the minister acknowledged them at Savior's Day, now they are all our heroes again. Oh, Lord. Please let me answer this question.
You go ahead, sister. Go ahead. Go
please
ahead,
let me answer this question.
Go ahead.
First of all, I'm going to tell you why, in all honesty, and let me just calm down first. Okay. The reason why is because if you, Sister Lillian, I don't know if you heard the entire message or what he said leading up to that, but he made the point, and I can't quote him verbatim, but he made the point that the Jews tell us our history.
Teach it. That's right.
So therefore, everything that was said, negative or positive, was at the hand of the Jews as they wrote our history.
That's right.
However, none of them in positions of financial power or political power have ever sat down with our minister to get his opinion. But when his opinion is stated, then people have the opportunity to look at those who have been lied about and lied on in a different light. So, yes, for many years, off and on, some people have said that the minister no longer cared for Malcolm, or that the minister and the nation of Islam did not have any respect for Martin Luther King, or the minister or nation of Islam had, you know, had discord with Dr. Khaled. But now this is the minister's opinion and the actual facts of the history of these men and women that he mentioned as our pioneers, as our forefathers and mothers, and on the shoulders of which we stand. When he mentioned them and spoke to them in a positive light, that is because he is a divine man.
That's right.
Who can see beyond the misunderstanding, see beyond the line of disagreement, and see that no matter how we differed, we were all fighting for the common cause, and that is the freedom, justice, and equality of black people here in the hills of North America. So it's no different than you having a disagreement with your neighbor about how to clean up the block. At the end of the day, y'all trying to clean up the block.
The block. That's good. There you go.
So that's what that is.
That's right.
The other part of that is that when we depend on Jewish publishing houses, on Jewish media, on Jewish education, and yes, I'm saying Jewish, but when we depend on their systems to educate us, then here comes the miseducation of the Negro all over again. So now the man of God has offered you some truth. The man of God has offered you some true history. The man of God has told you the contribution that these people have made to our race. And so now everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon when you had not the right to judge them in the first place.
There you go.
So
God,
I don't care what Malcolm did. I don't care what Martin did. I don't care what Khaled did as far as any disagreement, but I can bear witness to the contribution that all of them have made. I can bear witness to the contribution that the little ones are making today that you will never hear about in the history books.
That's
right.
There are many soldiers who are unnamed, many heroes that are unsung. And many of them have been lying on, but they keep fighting in the cause of Allah because they see the big picture. And the problem is not about who, what white people say about us. It's about what we say about one another and how we look at one another, because that's what feeds our disunity. We don't have the patent or the right to form an opinion about anybody else until we are in the position where we can't throw a stone. And all of us are not ever going to be in that position because we've all fallen short. So if we would stop forming an opinion about one another and jump on the bandwagon for the common cause, we'll be a more successful people.
All praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a wrap. Man.
Praise be to Allah. Well, any more questions, Queen Aziza?
Yes. Sister Kim wants to know, will the Muslims start going to church now to teach
Reginald, you first, and then you, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, well, I'm going to start off by a perfect example. A perfect example, if you were listening to our show last week, and Sister Queen Aziza, beloved, you can bear me witness to the guest we had on, Brother Timothy, I believe it was, from Jackson, Mississippi. Believe it or not, to all of this in the audience, he is a registered Muslim in the Nation of Islam. But guess what? He is the pastor of a Christian church. Now, it is also taught
to us, and we understand, and once you know the definition of these superficial titles that are given to us, when you are a Muslim, you are a Christian. When you are a Christian and a Muslim, you are a Jew. So we are all of the above. And Jesus said, in the end, no Greek, no Jew, no bond, no free, no female, no male, all are going to be one. So we all striving to out, like the minister said, you're not going to out Christ me. You're not going to out Muslim me, and you're not going to out Jew me, because I'm going to work so hard because my life is all for the cause of the liberation of our people in the name of Almighty God Allah and His Christ and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, their disciple. So we are definitely going to the church because we are the church. The church is just a building. We the church. The people
That's right.
are the church. The people are the mosque. The people are the synagogue and the temple. It ain't that building. It ain't that building. The word of God is, the minister has spread the word from one end of the earth to the other like he promised he would. It has hit all four corners of the earth, and guess what? It has simulated its way through the churches as well. That's why, like Sister Beloved Queen Aziza said, there were more Christians at the Million Man March. More Hebrew, it was Hebrew Israelites. It was Jews. It was agnostics. And it even was atheists there to bear the witness, to bear the minister witness. So we are all of the above, and we will, as saviors, not just go save the Muslims, not just go save the believers and save just the people that we know and we like and we honor and we respect. That's not our job as saviors. We really supposed to first go after the least of these, like Brother Kareem mentioned earlier in his scriptural path. And assalamu alaikum, I'll let somebody else
go. Well, Islam. I wanted to touch on that, Kareem Malik, Salaam Alaikum family. What I'm going to say is our leader, Farrakhan, has already opened the doors to that. Look at the rostrum and his the circle of people that was on stage, and that's always on stage when he do Savior Days or when he have lectures. He always have Christian pastors to show by an example that we ain't too big to listen and to get knowledge from other people, but at the same time to work with me, myself. I use myself. Every day I go to work, every time I'm at a store, every time I'm going out, I get into a conversation with a Christian brother who's speaking like he's a Muslim. Now, they was brought up all their life in Christianity, but in their spirit, as a man thinking that his heart, so is he. You can look at the person and you can see the spirit of God, because if you in the spirit like that, like what it says, God said, Jesus said, worship God in spirit and in truth.
That's
not
right.
Not worship the spirit and the truth, but worship God in spirit and in truth. So if I'm in the spirit and I'm speaking in the truth, then when I'm looking at somebody who's in that same spirit, speaking in that same truth, then we identify one another. It doesn't matter what color they is. It doesn't matter what label they or what they subscribe to. 6 1 + 1 = 7. 5 + 2 = 7. 0 + 7 = 7. At the end of the day, it's the same thing. As long as we're working on the same spiritual principles that bring about a change and to save our people, I don't care what it's from. I mean, it was a disciple when in the Bible came to Jesus and say, look at him, he's teaching over there. And Jesus said, well, if he's teaching in my name, leave him alone. It doesn't matter what it's coming from. We got to, like Sister said, and like the brother said, he said God will send saviors. And what we're doing right now, we're in a position to grab that label, to be a servant, to go out. Because like you said, Brother Kareem, it ain't too many people. And Sister Aziza, you was right. He did give us a hint. And I'm glad you point that out, because I was wondering when he was talking about, but all praise due to Allah, that you brought and helped me get that understanding. A lot of people did fall off. Because I was feeling like you, Brother Reginald. I was feeling how we get such a low number. But like the sister say, we can't put expectations on things. Because every time you put expectations on things, you don't automatically set yourself up for failure. I can't expect nobody to do what they're going to do for what it is going to be. It is what it is, and it's going to be what it's going to be. And we already know if you're a true believer, And if you're in the spirit, you already know it's hypocrites and ages in a damn mosque. So we already know half of them are going to fall off. The other half is working night and day to keep pushing people out of the mosque and keep the dead from coming in. And then the other half was scared in the first place. So if you really look at the numbers, the 200,000 is probably all the believers. Now, we got to get up and go out and do the work. Because I'm going to say it again, it's going to show and tell when he go on that mother plane and be lifted up. When they be reporting on the news, the leader has left, we're going to see what that Muslim mean in your life. We're going to see if you're going to put your boot straps on and your bow tie and hit the block. Because if you're scared of your people and if you're scared of God, you might as well go ahead and sit down and roll over.
Can I answer that, Brother Kareem?
Of course.
Go
ahead.
You know, how can I say this delicately? You know, Sister Kim, you asked, will he start going to the church to teach the Christians? Well, where's the church? We got plenty of buildings. Especially here in the South, there's a building called a church on every corner. But where's the church?
That's right.
The church is within the individual. So, I mean, as far as physically going to the church, that's fine. I mean, we can do that if certain pastors and things are not frightened or intimidated by our presence. That's a welcoming factor. However, I'm going to tell you something. When the people become dissatisfied, when we are able to bear witness to what the minister is saying, and when the people inside of the church walls are so dissatisfied and say that this form of Christianity that you're teaching me is not sufficient for what I need, I can't bear witness to what you're teaching me, they're going to seek the truth. But they're also going to be able to bear witness to everything that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan has said. So the church is where God has established a source, a foundation for his word, for his order, for his law. That's the church in the terms of Christianity. They say like the church is the bride of Jesus or something like that. But you have to have that order. You have to have that law. So when you talk about church, when you talk about mosque, when you talk about synagogue, you have to look beyond the buildings and look at a people. Because I want people to really detach themselves from these material things and these material buildings, because these are not the foundation. The foundation is the knowledge that is within the individual and the willingness to obey the will of God.
That's right. Ooh, yes,
we're going to have to stop all of this division amongst our people. Hell, the Christian church is the most divided organization I've ever seen in my life. How you going to have First Baptist, Second Baptist, Methodist, Protestant, Lutheran, Catholic? How you going to have all of that and say you serve one God, one Jesus Christ?
Episcopalian. And he wasn't none of that.
The Christian church is the most divided religion ever bore witness to.
That's right.
In my life.
That's right.
So the church, as we know it today, is a very, very rocky foundation. Because until they accept the truth of Allah, until they stand up and teach the truth, until those ones who are calling themselves pastors and ministers and reverends and bishops and all of them, until they stand up and bear witness to the truth of God
and speak
and
truth
not
to power,
take the interpretation that the seminary school approved them to have, but when they stand on the truth of God, then you have a church.
But until then, we
but until then, truth is the church in which God has established for you to absorb within yourself. And you have to be a walking church. And you have to be a walking mosque. And you have to be a walking temple, a walking masjid.
Right.
You have to be that. Because when the calamities come, there's not going to be nothing standing anyway.
That's right.
Now where you going to go worship? Now where you going to go pray?
Go ahead.
I feel like...
If I may weigh in on this particular question.
Go ahead, brother.
You know, I hope it's all right with y'all.
Hey, we didn't went this far. He might as well keep on going. What's going on?
The word again. We're gonna go to Merriam Webster.
She like a Merriam boy.
And the word church is described or defined as a noun. Of course, the first definition they give is a building for public and especially Christian worship. The second is the clergy or officialdom of a religious body. Then it goes on and says the whole body of Christians, denomination, congregation, a public divine worship. It says the clerical profession. Now we're finna get into the meat of it. This is called the philology or the original root of the word. It says the origin is Middle English, which is church, from the Old English, circe, ultimately from Late Greek, kirkon, from Greek, neuter of kirkos, of the Lord, from kiros, Lord, Master, and then it says the root of it is from a language called Sanskrit. And I'm going to even go into, look it up, Sanskrit, S-A-N-S-K-R-I-T. But the word comes from the Sanskrit word sura, which means hero or warrior. That's the church. Now, as Queen Aziza just got through laying it out for us, in the Bible, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and they were asking him about the church and the temple, he said this, pointing to the human body, pointing to the head, the mind, where the brain is. He said, this is the temple of the living God, just like she said, not the building. Each of us as individuals, God's spirit, if you will, God's mind operating in us. Another place in the scripture, it says, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Go ahead, brother.
Of your mind. So when we, yes, I will say emphatically, yes, we will go into the church, meaning the minds of the people, the hearts of the people, and teach by living the life and being an example. Now, right. I want to also touch upon, the comment that was made about how short the money was on the 3-year economic blueprint. Mm-hmm. Let's get something here. It all falls right back to our duty
That's
to
right.
Allah mm-hmm. and failing in mm-hmm. our duty. And the bottom line is this, okay, we understand, as the minister himself has shared, this is fiat currency, so we better do something with it quick before the truth all the way comes out and you ain't going to be able to do nothing with it.
That's right.
Number
right
one.
Now it's temporary.
Number two, in the Bible, remember the story of Jesus and the disciples, and they were walking, and I believe it was a tax man that came, if I'm not mm-hmm. mistaken. And he pretty much said, well, look, I hear you guys been hanging out together and y'all hang out on a regular basis, so we consider y'all an organization, so you got to pay some taxes. And the disciples got nervous. Oh, Lord, what we going to do? They going to take all that some money.
That's right. Run down the
street. What did Jesus tell them to do? He said, go down to the river. Mm-hmm. And bring me a fish. And when they brought the fish back, it said he reached into the fish's mouth, pulled out a coin, and asked the question. He said, whose superscription is on this?
That's right.
And they said, Caesar's. He said, mm-hmm. well, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render mm-hmm. unto God that which
That's
is God.
Right.
Well, let
That's
me
right.
say this. Do you actually believe that they went down to a literal river and got a literal fish and he pulled a coin out of this? No, because if you go back when he was first walking, he took Peter and his brother, I believe, took them from their profession as fishermen and told them, I will make you fishers of men.
That's right.
So see, if we get on our job, do our duty and go get the fish.
That's right.
They got money for Nike. They got money to pay leases on Mercedes and Scions and weave hair and everything else. So if we go get the fish and begin to civilize those who are living under savage conditions, we ain't got to worry about no money.
That's right.
That simple. It comes back down to 100% submission to the will of all obedience to Almighty God Allah. Look at our student enrollment, because our time is rolling. But just look at the student enrollment. Look how mm-hmm. it begins. It says student enrollment, rules of Islam. The following questions must be answered 100% before submittance, not admittance, submittance of students to said lesson number one. And we are told in the original rules of instructions to the laborers that lesson number one is the basis of our mission today.
Mm.
Now, see, I've asked this question of believers, and I asked them, I say, so, when did you answer the student enrollment? And they'll go back and tell me, well, I recited back in 1980. I didn't ask you when you recited.
Uh-oh.
I asked you, when did you answer the question? So when you look up that word answer, to answer means to provide a practical solution. So to answer the student, say the student enrollment, the questions must be answered 100%. Let's take the first question. Who is the original man? Answer, the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. A maker is one who takes existing material and shapes and fashions it into something useful for himself and those around him.
Hmm.
An owner is one who takes ownership or responsibility for his actions and the actions of those around him. He teaches and raises, or she teaches and raises, the uncivilized into civilization.
Huh.
We know that they say the cream rises to the top. How many of us are rising to the top in this
world? Go ahead, brother.
So I'm saying that to say that, as our topic said, see, and what we're going to have to realize is that the wrath of Allah is going to come down on us.
It's coming. It's already catching down.
It's descending now. See, some individuals are so blind they don't know. So it behooves us to get up, first of all, out of our emotions, get up out of the negative aspect of our ego.
That's right.
Sincerely study these teachings and then put them into practical application, as it tells us in Problem 13. And I'm going to close my portion of this out with this. In Problem 13, I'm going to read it exactly. I don't want to paraphrase it.
Take your time, Brother Kareem.
Problem 13 states it like this. I want to let folks know, we also have the Godfather of Young, Gifted, and Black, Problem 13. You need to check him out now. You can talk to Queen Aziz about that. You need to check him out. Problem 13 reads like this. After learning mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it stands true, period. You say it stands true. That's a true statement. You can always prove it at no limit of time, period. Now, how do we prove it? It says then you, it didn't say we, it says then you must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you are living. That is luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life. It says, sit yourself in heaven at once. What? That is the greatest desire of your brother and teachers.
That's right.
Teachers, plural. So, see, it's not for Allah to set us in heaven. We have to set ourselves in heaven by applying what is called our mathematical theology.
Mm-hmm.
Our mathematical theology. We have to take this, step out on this, and take care of business.
That's right.
So with that being said, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I know we probably still have some more questions. I apologize for not getting to everybody. Please contact me on Facebook. I'm Kareem N. Muhammad, with any other questions. Also, any topics you want to discuss. But I did want to get the lineup in for the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central. We will have another rebroadcast of Brother Jihad. And just to let you know, an update, Brother Jihad is doing magnificently wonderful. He is regaining the use of all his faculties. He's expected to be home in about a week or two. So he's finishing up some rehab, but he is doing absolutely wonderful after being near death. And he is a walking testimony that Allah is God. And so we will hear from him in a rebroadcast tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central. And on Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends, our hip-hop comedy show at 7 p.m. Central. And on Thursday, I'll be back with another intriguing topic, so watch out on Facebook for that.
That's right.
And then on Friday, we'll be joined by Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida, for our live study group. And everybody needs to come to study group on Friday.
Yes.
So if you don't live in a city or a town that has a mosque or a study group, we provide one right here via telephone or via the internet. Come with your questions or comments into anything that you may have. On Saturday, join us for Young, Gifted, and Black. We'll be back with our newly engaged little queen, Sister Yatira, who is engaged to Brother Frank X. Hudson. I am so happy for them, those two young people, starting out in the name of Allah. So we're going to wish them well on their engagement, and I cannot wait for those nuptials to take place. And on Sunday, we'll be back with Brother Reginald for the Educational Paradigm of the 21st Century. And Brother Reginald, you want to give us a sneak peek of what you're going to be talking about?
We will be discussing on theology and the educational paradigm. We will be discussing Islam is mathematics and mathematics is Islam.
That's right.
Okay. You heard it from the host himself. And, of course, next Monday, we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem on Conscious Black Nation. And what is the topic, Brother Kareem? I can't wait to hear this.
The topic is, there is no mystery God.
Yes, sir. All praise.
I can't wait for that one. Oh, my God.
I can't
can
wait
I say
for that
real
one,
quick?
Too.
Oh,
absolutely, Brother Kareem.
I'm with the family. I love you guys. Thanks for inviting me. I had just clocked out and walked out of my job, walked out the building, and I was supposed to be calling somebody trying to buy a vehicle. And I'm telling you, the spirit, God told me to hit this Facebook and check it. And I seen Brother Kareem's invite. I'm wondering why this little calendar cylinder was on my phone. I'm like, I ain't got no invite. I mean, what's going on? I ain't got nothing scheduled. But it was so much on my mind. It was like I thought I was dialing the number, but my hand was guided to get into this conversation. And I'm so glad Almighty God Allah had guided me this way, because this has been a true, true good treat and spiritual uplifting to end my day and to start a new beginning tomorrow. And I also want to say, I make my music for the nation. I'm a producer. I got a song called The Mother Plane. It's on my post, on my front page of Facebook. You can download it, or you can play it. I will be bringing more songs and sharing it to you guys. All my music is free for my family. Please tell me if you like it. Give me your opinions. If you got any suggestions, if you got any other people who want to do something, we can always, you know, because of the technology, we can do music over the, through cyberspace. So go ahead and download that song and put it in your archive of your music.
And, brother, let them know you'll be on my show on Sunday to hear more about
and
your
And I will
music.
Be on, Brother Kareem, on Sunday. Oh, praise to Allah. And then, please, anybody, for all the other stuff going on, Queen Aziza, Brother Reginald, for all the things, please send me messages through the Facebook. My number is 480-371-7711. Y'all can call me anytime. Leave messages. If I don't answer, leave me a message, text me, and I will get back with you. I need to stay connected to my brothers and sisters, not just in this city, but all over the world.
That's right. Universal.
That's right.
So I thank y'all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Kareem Ali.
Thank you,
yes,
Sister Queen Aziza. Soldier. That's bad.
Oh, Allah.
Okay.
I want to thank everybody. Queen Aziza, of course, Brother Reginald, you, Brother Kareem Ali, everybody in the entire listening audience, thank you so much, because this is what it's about.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna say it. The thought is the act. The act is the fact. We either participate or we all dissipate. I will leave you in the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Wa alaikum salam, everyone. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.